If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Astar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny. Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Astar Command. Tonight our topic is Keys to Living in the New Dimensional Version of the Earth. Now. How to move in now. So, each of our shows has been sounding a thunderbolt, like a giant gong of the different keys that usher us into what we call the Ascended Earth, the Fifth Dimension, the next progression of consciousness. And so tonight is no different in the sense that, again, we are going to be looking at the major keys and the major indicators that let us know we've moved in. And it looks like they're going to do a little clearing on my voice, so excuse me while I clear my throat. Sometimes that happens when there is a collective clearing taking place in those listening to me. So just receive that as one of those indicators that we are moving forward as light workers, as a collective messiah, as a group of people who have chosen to embody a new type, a new consciousness, and a new version of the earth. The New Jerusalem, the new earth, the fifth dimensional version of the earth, Terra Christa, it has many different names and metaphors, has been said now by the High Council, by the Order of Melchizedek, and by the Office of the Christ, that it has now fully descended upon the earth. That is something we could look at as a dimensional overlay, a superimposition over the existing seeming visible world, an energy template, a descended grid in the form of, some have used the metaphor, a dove, the descent of a dove. Some have used the metaphor of the city four square that descends like a bride adorned from the heavens. There are many beautiful metaphors for this. But let's look at it, as I like to do everything, with a state of consciousness which then becomes a collective reality that we find ourselves gradually morphing into. And with it is the disappearing of the old paradigm, the old way of seeing and being and moving about is suddenly no longer in our attention field. It has been superimposed by a higher vision. I like the metaphor of where you're sitting and reading a book and watching the television, and at some point, one or the other grabs your attention more, and you lose sight of one or the other. And it's exactly like that in this moving into the new consciousness. You just fade out like those old fade-outs on the movie sets where one scene just blends and fades and all of a sudden you're in a different out-picturing. But it begins from inside out. The outer doesn't change until the inner does, because the outer is an effect of the inner decision for what you would have be real. So your decision of what you want to see determines, actually, what you do see. Isn't that interesting? So often we want an outer something to happen, you know, the president to do it for us, or beam me up, Ashtar, and beam me back when it's all over. Or, you know, we have many, many of these metaphors, which are, in a sense, very impractical, because they always keep us distancing and in a victim consciousness, separate from that which we would embrace of. So embrace of is, again, a key word here. We want to embrace of infinite possibility for wondrous events to be revealed to us. So tonight, let's take an inventory, as I always like us to do. Take a deep breath. And call yourself forward in your spirit, in your knower, in your ascended masterful self. That part that's never left the heart of God. And allow everything that's not of that resonance to go now. In the name of grace supreme, go. Take a deep breath. And fill yourself completely and totally with the purest divine light that's available. And anchor it right down through your feet, right into the center of the earth. Right into the great central sun in the center of the earth. And be that continuum of consciousness that knows no birth and no death and no separation from the all that is. Perhaps some of you are going to be discovering that you've already moved into this higher dimension. And you may be the ones that are feeling really out of touch with the outer world because you haven't validated your experience yet. Maybe you haven't taken the time to check or to take inventory. So, no, this is not the time to consult your tarot cards or your runes or to look at your astrology or to call your dial a psychic. No, you don't need to do that. All you need to do is look to see what is present in your mind, in your consciousness, in your immediate reality. And is that heavenly? Is that of a higher vibratory field? Is it one of greater life, greater vitality, greater joy, greater peace? If it is, hey, beloved, you have departed the old world, because in case you haven't noticed, the world, the gerbil cage, the 3D version of the earth, is none of the things I've just mentioned. It's the polar opposite. It's a running Shrek. It's complete wacky-doo crazies. Today, I had a really interesting day. I was caught up in a state of such profound peace that every sound I heard ushered me deeper and deeper into that still presence of what we could call the beloved. And I thought, my gosh, how am I ever going to come out of this state enough to do the show? Because absolutely nothing mattered. And then I thought, oh, in order to transmit through my vocal patterns tonight the quality that is needed for our collective ascension is that place. So I'm transmitting tonight from that deep place that we could call the higher dimensional version of the earth or the New Jerusalem. I'm in that place. And so the energy is like a crystalline rainbow bridge that extends into the collective consciousness as a bridge of light through which we may cross over from that which has been the nightmare born of separate consciousness and fear, lack, and personal victimization. We can cross from that into that beautiful, beckoning new version of the earth, which the only thing we have to leave behind is our fears, worries, and concerns. all of our unpleasant negative baggage. That's the only thing that has to be departed. You don't have to leave your spouse. You don't have to leave your house. You don't have to leave your job or the earth. You don't have to leave anything but a mindset, a vibratory presentation predicated on negativity. That's all. Just ditch it. Jettison the cargo and allow that hot air balloon of your inner consciousness to rise. During this show, we're going to place you in that frequency. And the good Lord willing, the Order of Melchizedek will place its seal so that you can be secured vibrationally into a new and higher state of resonance and residence. In examining We of the Command, the vast majority of people on the planet, we find that the major transition is moving consciousness from idealistic theory to actual practice, so that it moves from the head into the heart, into the gut, into the legs and feet, and gets walked out in your daily life. So many people have an idealized, romanticized concept that ever eludes them because it is out of touch with their everyday lifestyle, their prevailing state of consciousness. So tonight we're going to be looking at what I think are three major keys to actually living in the New Jerusalem, or the Kingdom of Heaven, or the Ascended Earth, or the Fifth Dimension. You can just slot in your favorite term there and be done with it. And those three major keynotes are grace, love, and truth. So let's move them from religious theory to specific ways of living and expressing in your day-to-day activities. There is a presence so still, so calm tonight. I know Dolly has just hit in portions of the coastline of Texas. Maybe some of you are even listening to my show from a shelter somewhere. But that peace that I'm speaking of has nothing to do with what's happening in the outer world. It's so important, beloveds, to realize that in all of existence, there is only energy and consciousness. That's it. In all of existence. That means we are sitting on an invisible chair or couch, at an invisible desk or table, in an invisible room that looks like it has an invisible floor and walls, in an invisible planet, in space, which isn't real either. What is real? What is real is the I Am. That's why in every language, in every single tongue, when you refer to yourself, everybody says in one form or another, I Am. That's the only thing that is absolutely eternal. I Am that I Am. Which is why when Moses said to the burning bush, who may I say you are, or who sent me? And the bush replied, that is God, tell them, I am that I am has sent you. So we are the I am that I am, eternally existing as conscious awareness that then molds energy into temporary form for certain cycles. And when the cycle is completed, that form dissolves back into primordial energy to be issued forth again in another manifestation. So we're looking at this primordial energy, which we call God, existence itself, eternality, or infinite life, and we are part and parcel of that greater life forever. Here's lesson 95 from A Course in Miracles. You are, we are, one self, united with our Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and limitless in power and in peace. This is the truth, and nothing else is true. Get that? Nothing else is true, but we are one self. Tonight we will reaffirm this truth again and reach into that place within in which there is absolute knowing that this is so. We will reach beyond to a place in you in which there is no doubt that only this eternal oneness is true. You might want to repeat with me, I am one self, united with my Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and limitless in power and peace. So, the Christ consciousness is a consciousness of grace. Every day we can make the choice, for we have the opportunity to live in grace through the Christ consciousness, or to live in the ways of the world. The world always perpetrates lack, fear, and the denial of the goodness of God. And so that is something that we jettison. We will jettison all that tonight. We will allow ourselves to simply let it all go. No, you don't have to do anything about it. I love what Ashtar said one time when somebody was asking him about processing. And he said, processing is like going through your garbage can and picking out the orange rinds and the eggshells and the coffee grounds and sitting down and trying to meditate on what is the significance of these things. He said, bottom line is, they're garbage. Toss them out. There is absolutely no value to processing that which never was except in the ego's nightmare. So quit trying to fix yourself, doing things for yourself, being so self-focused, and realize one thing. In fact, when I was meditating earlier on the show tonight, they showed me a whole series of wedding processions. And how often have we been presented with a metaphor that we are being caught up to be with the divine bridegroom? Like humanity is the collective bride of Christ. And the divine heavenly bridegroom, the Christ consciousness or the Christ oversoul, is reappearing to claim his bride. But in every culture, whether it's the Western one where the bride is carried across the threshold by the bridegroom, or in India, where the bride is put on a palanquin and delivered to the house of her husband, or whatever it is, whatever culture, almost every culture, I don't think there is hardly any difference in this, almost every culture, the bridegroom carries the bride into her new life, signifying that the bride, which is all of creation, as I've said before, to God, is feminine. Right? We always say Mother Earth. But we who are in the earthen bodies are all mother, whether we're in a male form or a female form. We are mother. We are matter. We are the Virgin Mary, and we are the Mary Magdalene, because we are both virginal in our coming into new experiences, and we're also the experienced initiate, which is represented by Mary Magdalene. So we are the mother, the earth mother, being caught up and married in the marrying process with the divine higher consciousness, which picks us up, you know, the metaphor of the rapture, catches us up, or beam me up, Ashtar, or we're ascending, and all these metaphors for being lifted in consciousness to a higher state. But the bride is carried. So think about it. We must be carried through grace by the divine power into this new earth, which means at some point you're going to have to stop kicking and squirming and grabbing and trying to wrestle your way into the kingdom. My teacher often says the doors to the kingdom of heaven open outward. Hello. So if you're storming the gates and banging on the gates of heaven, you got to step back and give some room for those gates to open. So the gates of glory have been opened. The wedding repast is all set out, and you're all invited to come in and dine and feast royally of the higher consciousness. So allow yourself now, take a deep breath, and just see yourself being picked up metaphorically in the arms of the divine beloved, the divine bridegroom. And see yourself now in the virginal, pure white body of light. Absolutely without spot or blemish. Original innocence and purity restored. And see yourself now being carried across the threshold and your beautiful feet are placed, shod with the sandals of peace, in the new dimensional version of the earth. And now the door behind you is closed. The bridegroom has closed it. You're in the intimate chamber with the beloved now. It's just about you in and with the beloved, consummating that union that has never ever been separated except in the illusion field. And now you're restored in that unified self. So one of the first signs, beloved, that you will recognize is an ever-deepening sense of wholeness. You just suddenly feel complete. There's no gaping holes of neediness anywhere. How would you feel if you had just married a person that you were so crazily in love with and you were going to have your first intimate joining with that person? You wouldn't be thinking about anything else, I can assure you. But whenever you marry someone in the physical, there's always an element of fear. You know, they might leave you, you might lose them, they might die, whatever. Because you know that everything in the material world has a temporary cycle. So this marrying with the beloved is eternal. You have been restored from the nightmare of separation and fear back into the unified heart of the all it is, which in highest truth you never really, really left. So now you're back in that one self. And with that comes an ever-deepening inner stillness, a deep inner peace that has nothing to do with anything that has to do with the outer circumstances or events of your life. The second sign is that you have freedom from fear, worry, or even concern, and a total reliance and trust in God, in yourself, and in the universal flow of life. Remember, I've often said that God, your divine self, the universe, and life itself are one and the same. These are not different. These are one. You are one self, united with all that exists eternally. So you move about in the world as if it were your living room. This is the third sign. You're at home everywhere, and everyone you encounter is like an eagerly awaited guest. Your full attention is upon serving them with whichever manner seems the most uplifting and life-enhancing at the moment. That includes the grocery checker, the missionaries that come and knock on your door with their Bible tracts, the person that gives you the royal greeting on the freeway and cuts in front of you in traffic. Everyone that you share life, exchange with, you treat them as the one eagerly awaited guest. There's no longer any strangers. You see one, wherever you go, whatever the guise, whatever the costume, whatever the role play, there's only one, and your heart is open. Next, the fourth sign is that you are experiencing such a sense of contentment, fulfillment, and gratitude that this sense of upwelling appreciation and thanksgiving has replaced any personal requests. Your prayers are radiant, loving appreciation. You show forth this celebratory gratitude all the time, whether alone or in company. It's like your whole day becomes one of, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. The fifth sign is if one were to look into your eyes, they would see a person with their focus upon another world entirely. And at the same time, a gaze of the most tender, compassionate, divine adoration and deepest love. It's as if you were the only one in all of existence, the only beloved, the all in all. I remember seeing this gaze in Sai Baba's eyes and in the eyes of my master teacher, John Roger. When you look into either of these God-realized master souls' eyes, you see, in John Roger's eyes, I saw whirling white-blue vortices of energy that carried me into infinity with a sense of ecstatic bliss so profound I could scarcely breathe. They were not human eyes. They were the eyes of the Beloved. And the eyes of Baba, which are dark, dark brown. The same thing. I looked into those eyes, and I just went into this bottomless, eternal love. And I knew that I was seen as the only begotten, only beloved of the Lord. I felt so precious, so seen, so acknowledged. So, number six. You would have absolutely no concern or worry with regard to having your personal needs met, nor you wouldn't be concerned about the world. You wouldn't have any worry or concern about your children, your loved ones, having their needs met. In fact, you would regard everyone as your dearest kith and kindred, your very own beloved. And yet that love, get this, is so interesting. This love that we're moving into is entirely impersonal. It doesn't expect anything, demand anything, want anything, hope for anything, wish for anything. It doesn't want your money. It doesn't want to go to bed with you. It doesn't want to possess you. It doesn't want to change you or manipulate you. It doesn't want to correct you or critique you or show you where you're wrong. It just is present with the all that is, and you're just part of that all that is. And the all that is perfectly safe because the all that is God. So where's the need? Where's the fear? Where's the concern? It's part of that stuff that you jettisoned. Hopefully, you left it on the other side of the door. It's not in the New Jerusalem. There's no lack. That's part of the ego's imagination, part of his fear engendering that comes from believing he's separate. So we are called now to really question the things that we are being fed in the consensus reality, the things that people say when they talk to us in so-called chit-chat. Personally, I don't do chit-chat. Those of you who know me know that I don't. If you want to talk reality, fine. Otherwise, don't call me. I don't have time to focus energy and attention into what I don't want to fortify for us. I want us to move collectively as a collective Christ, as a Christ action, as a collective Messiah, as a Christed race. I want to be one of those facilitators to help move us and focalize us as a vision carrier into this new version of the earth. So I personally don't want to expend any energy on any other focus, and so I don't. And you don't have to either. If you find yourself doing that, it is simply a choice or a bad habit. Probably a bad habit, probably an area of unconscious, kind of just going along with what's out there instead of being self-directive. A master, a spiritual warrior, is always self-directing. Just because the phone rings doesn't mean you have to answer it. Just because somebody wants you to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. Just because someone is speaking to you doesn't mean that you have to reply and come into agreement. If they're complaining, criticizing, gossiping, slandering, you better not enter into agreement, because that karma will splash right on you. So it takes great awareness and personal accountability to walk in this new earth, in this new dimensional version. And I would say not so much when you're in it as a stabilized point of consciousness, but in that in-between, when you're not quite fully moved in and you tend to get caught back into the illusion. That's where you have to be that spiritual warrior, as we spoke of a show or two back. That spiritual warrior has to be very impeccably aware of where energy is placed to be the most goal-fitting. And right now, we want to keep our full resonant field and all of our energy input into this new version of Earth, which is without warfare. It's totally without all of the negativity of the third dimension will not be present on the new vibrational Earth. There will not be any of the pollution. There won't be any money. Yeah, there won't be any money. There won't be any fossil fuels. There won't be any dirty, polluting anything. There will only be that Edenically restored Earth. I mean, can we even wrap our highest, most beautiful visions around that? It's going to take a little bit of a conscious exercising of a new way of thinking. So, again, the seventh sign is that your days will increasingly become occupied in simply being present as radiant love, devoid of hurry, worry, or scurry. Just quietly present in the quality and essence of the daily parade of events and the people drawn into your orbit. No planning, no driving agenda, no self-promoting, no selling of your snake oil or whatever it is that you try to promote to make money. No personal needs or issues. Just yieldedness, presence, openness, and trust. That has become your natural state. Number 8, you are free of any mental static and thought form traffic. In other words, you don't have to think about anything. There's nothing to think about in higher consciousness. People that are self-realized never think. They turn their conscious awareness and focus it, but they don't generate thought forms unless they're doing it specifically for a purpose of manifesting and creating something. That's why Sai Baba, for example, everything that comes into his consciousness begins to take a materialized form. I personally have sat right next to him on the floor and been right underneath his hand, a few, maybe a foot away, when he would take his hand, and usually he'll wave it about 5 times, and I have seen a ball of light materialize in his palm, take the form, I remember one time it took the form of a Christian rosary, and it just became a ball of light, and then as it began to elongate into a densified rosary, he reached out, grabbed the rosary, and flung it at the same time around the neck of the woman that was sitting opposite the room. Of course, she was a devout Catholic, and although she hadn't spoken a word, he knew that she liked to say the rosary, and that that would be a wonderful gift for her. I have also eaten candy, fresh, as Sai Baba said, from the Sai Bakery, which in those days, in those early days, there was no bakery. Now we have a bakery there, but in the ashram, but in those days, there was no bakery. And again, that hand would wave around a few times, and out of his palm, he would reach out and grab this brown, sugary kind of, it's called Mysore Pak, this nice, sugary kind of candy that they eat in India, which is, it's made of gram, dal, you know, lentils. It's very healthy for you. It's not, you know, bad carbs like we have so often here. So, he would materialize. I remember one time one of the doubters in the room said, well, this is not the season for figs. So if you can materialize for me a fig, then I'll believe you're divine. Baba said, do you understand? I can materialize anything. Are you sure you want me to manifest a fig? Hello? And the man said, yes, a fig will be fine, because then I'll believe you're divine. So Baba kind of sighed and shrugged his shoulders. His hand again went around several times, and there was this fig that came and stuck forth from his became light. First it's always a light, and then it manifests. I remember one time there was a doubter, and he thought, he's hiding it in his hair, in his gown, or up his sleeves, or, you know, people, they find it so hard to believe in miracles, even though they believe the most absurd illusions, they find it hard to believe in the goodness and grace and miraculous working power of divinity. I don't get that, but you find it all the time. So Baba knew that this man was doubting that he was really materializing. So he rolled up his sleeves, you know, as he often does. And then he realized even that wasn't going to cut it, because the man was still thinking, well, he's hypnotizing or whatever. So then Baba said, what do you want? And the man said, well, I'm really, really thirsty. I'd like some nice, fresh, cold grapes. So without moving his hand, without doing anything, all of a sudden, in the middle of the room, these grapes materialize. So there's countless examples of how a divine God-realized person can materialize anything with their thought instantly. Why? Because there's no dissipation of energy. There's a perfect alignment between their thought, their feeling, their knowing, their vibration, and their intention. And when those are all lined up, whatever you speak or think instantly becomes manifested. So those of you that often write to me and say, when can I levitate, walk through walls, materialize money, you know, if you want personal power and personal wealth, you're still in the world, dear one. You're not ready to move into the New Jerusalem, because your focus is upon things of the world and of the personal separate self, the ego self. So it's going to be another few rounds around Jericho before those walls come tumbling down for you. And unfortunately, where we place our treasure is where our heart is. So if your treasure is of the things of the world, then you've got to keep reappearing in the world so that you can have your desires fulfilled. because nothing is denied the Son of God. You are the uniquely begotten Son of God, daughter of God. So whatever you want must come to you. And it has to come to you where you're looking to receive it. You see? See, therein lies the rub. If we look to God, and only God, as the all-sufficiency, the only one that we need to look to have any of our needs supplied, I don't care what it is, your boss and your paycheck is not who supports you. Your government and your economy is not what supports you. Your whatever you call those retirement funds are not what take care of you in your old age. Your pastor and your priest and your sacraments are not what are going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Those things are all of the earth, and they will perish like all forms with the earth. And they will arise to see another day and another cycle until that person begins to see beyond the nightmare, the illusion, the Maya, and says, wait a minute, I hear a different drumbeat. Let me follow that. Ah, I hear the inner sound current. Let me wrap my mind around the name of God and let that pull me out of identification with a physical form and this world of appearances. Let this divine melody within me sing me home. And that, beloved, is the call that when you hear it, when you feel that sound of God, that primordial word, that living word, that shabd, that bani, that flute of Krishna, that shout of the archangel, that call of Christ, when you hear that ringing radiance within your innermost being, that is the living word. That is the word of God. That is what you attach your mind to, and it carries you in your spiritual inner awareness into that state that we call home, into the soul realm, into the realm of truth, into the oneness, and you hold yourself and secure yourself in that vessel of the name. And so that's why the name of God is that bark, that boat, that ark that carries us across the sea of samsara and deposits us on the radiant shore of forever and eternity. And whatever metaphor you use, I've just described for you the most direct path to God, which is through the name and the repetition and the singing and the praising of the name of God. Well, what name? Beloved, all names are the names of God, even your own name. If you but knew who you are, if you could but for a second see who you are, it is said that the Saint Ramakrishna, when he was sitting at his puja table, he couldn't tell the difference between his own picture and the picture of the Divine Mother. He became so completely God-realized that he could as easily worship his own picture as the picture of his Ishtadevata, which is his chosen image of God, which was the Divine Mother. It's also interesting that when somebody would offer things to the Divine Mother, he would receive that offering in himself. And one time somebody offered some hibiscus, red hibiscus flowers, which in India are sacred to Kali Mata, who is his Ishta. And he started crying out in pain because he said the ants, there were ants inside the hibiscus blossoms and they were biting him. So this is a soul that has become so one with a name and the form that he's transcended the name and form into every name and every form, which becomes the nameless and the formless. Ultimately, God is everything and no thing. There we go into that double speak, that mystical double speak that we have to converse in when we start to speak about very high states of divine realization. They're both this and not that. This and that, and not this and not that. So this is part of that path that you begin to see beyond all of the obvious and the appearances, and you go beyond, you penetrate into where you find that unified field of the One. So you are free of thought form static. Your mind has become the clear window through which the light of heaven shines, through which the one truth divine is revealed and clearly transmitted through the whole spirit or the Holy Spirit or you in the wholeness of spirit. So you will find as the ninth indicator that you've moved in an all-encompassing goodwill, a sense of such empathy, compassion, and understanding that you're incapable of criticizing, critiquing, and judging, or complaining anymore. You can't get it up to do that anymore. You can't even fight. All the fight and bite has dissolved in the sweetness of the Divine Presence. That state, by the way, in Sanskrit is called Madhura Bhakti. It is the unalloyed, sweet, pure love and devotion to the all that is, with the all that you are, without the slightest trace of ego. And that ego, again, is self-definition, where it's separate from the all that is. And always when you have a sense of separation, you have fear or false evidence appearing real. So that is, again, what fades away, what decreases so that the Christ presence may increase in you. So number 10, you are true to your inner directives, revelations, and knowing of what is right and proper for you to do. You stick to your way and your path, regardless of what anyone says or whatever occurs about you. You stick to what you know works for you, and you work it. And you're selective in what you draw into your life, what you come into agreement with, what you associate with, because you know that whatever you rub shoulders with is going to rub off on you. So if you want to rub shoulders, find the most anointed, the most empowered, the most divinely perfected souls that you can possibly find and rub up against them like a cat and let it all rub off on you. Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is transferable. It's called impartation. And if you hang out with people who are highly anointed, divinely infilled with the living spirit, that will rub off on you like oil, or it will ignite you like fire, or it will wet you like water. That's why the Holy Spirit is referred to as like oil and like fire and like water. Gets all over you. So be that one who seeks out carefully, very carefully, the company that you keep, physically in terms of the people that you spend time with, the thoughts that you choose to harbor in your mind. You see, thoughts are a stream of consciousness that are always flowing. They're not your thoughts. They're just thoughts. So you needn't grab every single thing that runs through your head and run it up on a flagpole and salute it as the absolute truth, or even as anything you need to pay any attention to at all. Today, a bizarre thought just flowed through my mind. I was just in a very, very empty state, and I was aware it wasn't my thought at all. It was probably a thought form flowing through that particular neighborhood. So I immediately cast it out of my mind. And I cleansed my mind with the blood of Jesus Christ, which is what the blood was shed for. It's to wash you white as snow. So that's the appropriate use of the blood. And in the ancient rituals in the temple in Jerusalem, they always applied the blood first, and then the oil of the anointing, whether it was upon their ear and their thumb and their vestitures that they ministered in or the sacraments they were going to use to minister. It's pretty much the same in just about any world tradition. But particularly in our Judeo-Christian understanding, there's a great connection between the purifying of the blood and the applying or the receiving of the anointing. So use the blood that was shed to make you white as snow, that purchased for you that pure new life that enables you to move into this new Jerusalem and to have that anointing which designates you as an image walking about of the living God, a Son of God in whom the Father dwells in fullness, just as the Father did through Christ Jesus. So stick to your path, stick to your truth, not in an act of stubbornness, but in an act of great discerning selectivity. This is what I'm doing. I am returning myself to God. With every breath I take, my life is lifting and loving and serving and extending the kingdom to all who come into my orbit. That's what I'm about. That's what I'm doing. To that I will be true. That's all you have to do. Decide your way and stick to it. So everything divine, this is a good thing to, let's do it the opposite here, so we'll end with a positive. Everything dark and negative leads to death and energy dissipation. Everything divine and good leads to life and energy increase. So watch your energy. If you're dissipating, you're in darkness. You're choosing death. God said in His Word, "Behold, this day I have set before you life and death. Choose you therefore life, that you may live and have life eternal." So in everything, choose that which is bright, radiant, has life, has vitality, has a quality of endurement. Sai Baba never gets tired. Why is that? Because he is constantly sourcing that higher energy, and it never depletes. It never dissipates. So likewise, that's what we're called to do. Begin to build energy by filling yourself with the whole spirit of truth. And watch those things that dissipate and avoid them, because they're wasting that vitality that will keep you sustained in the higher vibration and in the ascended state. So my beautiful teacher, John Roger, has a beautiful statement here which I would like to read on grace. Grace is not something that we on this level can earn. We are under law. We are under our blueprint. Grace is extended to us in our unworthiness. It's just extended to us from Spirit. When that is extended to you, the shackles fall away, and that thing that was grinding you by law no longer is binding you. You may still be in that situation, but you are totally free in it, and that is grace. That's by John Roger. So, it's again, it's that choice. Through the action of the Christ, we were delivered from the law, and grace became our restoration into kingdom status. And that is our inheritance. That is the new Jerusalem. That is the new kingdom of heaven that is prepared for you. Allow Him now to pick you up and carry you through divine love and grace and sustain you in the new kingdom. If you haven't already done so, ask Him, and He will do that for you, just because that is your destiny and your inheritance. Tonight we will go out chanting Ek Onkar Satnam Shanti. One is God, one true name, peace. This is a Sikh chant.
Ekon kar satnam shanti. Ekon kar satnam shanti. Ekon kar satnam shanti. Ekon kar satnam shanti.
Good evening, beloveds. Adonai.